This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:46 a.m., Wednesday the 16th of December, and Budget 2021 has passed the final stage in the Dewan Rakyat with 111 MPs in favour of the budget and 108 MPs against, plus one absentee vote. And that absentee vote is believed to be Tengku Razali Hamza, who is the Gua Musang Member of Parliament. The supply bill will now head to the Senate to be debated and voted on. But of course, the question that has arisen is, what does this outcome say about the state of Malaysian politics? And to help us address this morning, we have with us Dr. Bridget Welch, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham Asia Research Institute. Bridget, thank you so much for speaking with us today. Now, the budget has been passed at the committee stage with 111 versus 108. How does this reflect on Datuk Sri Anwar Ibrahim's leadership position within Pakatan Harapan, especially since he was so confident about turning the tables on Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin's PN coalition?
Good morning. I think, yes, it's not only passed at the committee stage, it's passed the third reading, so it's passed completely, the budget. And I do think that it raises a number of issues about Anwar Ibrahim's leadership. One, it's a question about strategy, whether or not the focus on trying to win government has been an effective one for the opposition. And the second issue is one about false promises, which has raised questions associated with credibility of Anwar Ibrahim, both within the coalition itself, but also within the public. And I think this is not just about Anwar Ibrahim. It's also about Pakatan Harapan as a coalition, how it's working, how it's connecting to the voters, and whether or not it's been actually focused on the right things. And I think those things are going to have a reckoning, and they've been having a reckoning for some time when the calls for the numbers have been happening, but they will continue to have one as a result of the budget vote.
If we do see a change of Anwar Ibrahim at the top of PKR itself, who are potential successors?
Well, I think the issue is, first of all, Anwar will not go quickly. And I think there are differences within Pakatan Harapan on Anwar's leadership. So I think this is going to be result with Pakatan Harapan being very inward looking as a result of that. In terms of potential successors, that's probably a difficult conversation for Pakatan Harapan, but I think it's one that's begun. The main person that has been listed is Shafi Abdal from Warisan, but he is not the only person that's being considered. There are people looking; they're looking to alternatives, potentially someone in Amana, and potentially a new coalition that kind of that emerges. But the fact is that many still hold on to Anwar himself, and this is one of the challenges: is that there cannot be a meaningful conversation about who are the alternatives, because they still haven't resolved the situation of the current leadership.
Turning our attention to Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, does this outcome solidify his seat of power, or do you think he's still on thin ice with his coalition partners, especially since the margin of victory was so thin?
It actually does both. So first of all, it was a victory by all means possible. You watch yesterday where the parliamentary debate on the different aspects of the different ministries really had strong time limits until yesterday, until they were waiting for Hadiyah Wang and Takyuddin to return from Perak. So all of a sudden, the discussion was extended very long. So we had delays in Parliament, PPE, people coming into Parliament using the medical equipment. And of course, there are other factors that were made the deals possible. Muhyiddin Yassin has showed that he's a consummate deal maker and uses the levels of power to stay in power. And I think that it was very clear and evident yesterday. We also have a situation, what I would call no choice politics. What do I mean by that? Is that that the coalition partners who may be uncomfortable, and this is true both in Pakatan Harapan and in PN, there is no safe landing. So in terms of being an alternative arrangement, so what happens is they're stuck in a coalition, marriages of convenience, in particular for PN, that are uncomfortable, and this becomes a real challenge because those tensions will periodically emerge, as we saw in Perak. But I think at the same time, Muhyiddin Yassin has scored a very decisive victory for himself. He is in the sense that he has emphatically shown that he's been able to stay to manage these tests. Even how he does it is the means is not necessarily important in the sense that it's the ends from some perspectives. And as a result, he's emerged stronger. And this, of course, puts him in a much more prominent, more seat, struck, more comfortable seat as he looks to securing potentially over a year in power. And of course, this will make him Bersatu more powerful vis-a-vis its contenders in terms of within the Partido Nacional in terms of UMNO and PAS. So I think he is much more confident. And I think that and more secure as a result of what happened.
With this win for Tan Sri Muhyiddin, does he still need to be deal making at this point? Because I mean, he's come out of this without having to concede the DPM's post at this juncture, right? Because that was one of those things that was kept being talked about and bandied about. Do you see more concessions having to be made going forward now that the budget vote is done?
We don't know what concessions were made to make sure the budget happened. I mean, there was an expectation of Najib bin Zahid potentially not sticking to PN. And I think we will see what happens in involving those individuals moving forward. But I think the fact of the matter is that Muhyiddin Yassin's majority, winning a vote by three, is actually a very small one. And it becomes, and it's continuously precarious for him. And so this is something that makes him vulnerable to demands and that happen over time. And I think they're going to likely continue. But the fact that there is no safe landing for other partners, for example, for UMNO, as we move to something else, they're stuck in this relationship. They're waiting for elections, hoping that elections will be the way out for them. There will still be pressure, because the pressure comes from the ground, it comes from the different grassroots of parties, and as well as from individuals who would like to be able to position themselves. And the stronger Muhyiddin Yassin gets, the more pressure that puts on his coalition partners, because that also weakens them, and this, of course, creates tensions. So this is a fundamental dynamic within that still remains unstable, but it is more stable than it was before yesterday.
So, Bridget, do you think that means that GE will be sooner rather than later? Because it does seem as if parties on both sides of the aisle calling for general elections. Pakatan Harapan looks like their future lies in the polls, and UMNO also is believed to be able to win more seats come the next elections. What's your take on this?
Well, it's clear that there are very strong advocates for elections, and part of the keeping people in the PM community and in the coalition has been to make concessions to say that elections will be held. But elections are not going to be determined only by issues of political relationships. They're also going to be affected by the viability of whether or not they can be held in terms of COVID-19. And also, I think that they will also be determined by the sense where Muhyiddin Yassin and his government feel confident in calling them. And I think that there will be a tension between demands to hold election early, say as early as March, and the reality of the government in power will not want to hold those elections till they put them in a stronger position. And the stronger position will involve potentially keeping the government in power for longer, and particularly because the longer the Bersatu stays in power, the stronger it becomes, and both vis-a-vis its coalition partners, but also potentially electorally. And of course, it would be very risky to go to an election, especially given the economic conditions and the weakening popularity that Muhyiddin Yassin government faces with the public. So I think there will be continued contestation over when those elections should be held, promises that they will be held, but of course delays that happen in that process. And Muhyiddin Yassin's government controls those levers, and I think that puts them in an advantage.
Thank you so much for speaking with us this morning, Bridget. That was Dr. Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham Asia Research Institute, with her take on the Well, the complicated political situation that we find ourselves in now, a post-budget 2021 vote, she made a couple of points that I found quite interesting. In that, this is definitely a decisive win for Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, even though he still does have some struggles ahead of him, because we don't know what other concessions will need to be made in order to keep UMNO particularly happy on his side.
Yeah, he's in the driving seat of this PN car, and everyone else, I wonder who's in the shotgun seat, keeping their having their say in a lot of matters. We will wait and see to see what turns out after this budget vote and what plays out in the next few weeks and months.
Indeed. And so we'll be watching this story very closely. It's a developing one. But right now, we're about to head into the 8 o'clock news bulletin. And after that, the Breakfast Grill, where Roshan will be speaking with Dato' Charan Wardini Mokzani, Group Managing Director of Malaysian Industrial Development Finance Berhad, better known as MIDF. So that's happening after the news. Stay tuned. But first, here is the these Mercedes rock break with the Beatles with Why Don't We Do It on the Road, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.